morning we have the kids coming in 10 minutes. We are synchronizing our time frame to have family communion. And so we're going to take a few minutes just to do kind of an interactive conversation around the scriptures. A lot of people have said they like it when I throw my notes out the window and just come down and preach from the floor. Some people say they can't stand it when I do that because I'm getting too close, but you know, it won't happen very often. But I want to give you an opportunity to interact with this passage with me. Such an important passage, been called by many as the most famous conversation in the Bible. And when we think about one-on-one conversation with Jesus, you know, wouldn't it be great to have a one-on-one conversation with our Lord? And all the questions that you're dying to ask, what are some of the things that you, if you had the opportunity, that you would ask Jesus on a one-on-one? Anybody? Yes. That's a good, when the woman was being brought by the religious people, he knelt down and wrote things in the sand. Doesn't say in the Bible what he wrote. Good question. I don't have the answer. Anybody else? Perhaps you might ask him, why are there people suffering in this world that you created? Or what is the meaning of life? What is my purpose in life? Or how can I truly know that I'm going to heaven? Some of these things are in the Bible, but it would be great to know in a one-on-one conversation. Some things you might want to say to Jesus aren't questions. You might simply want to say, Lord Jesus, I love you, in a one-on-one, if you had access to that kind of conversation. Or you might say, look, Lord, I'm all in. I'm all yours. Or you might simply want to thank him for his suffering and death on the cross. Well, as we consider John chapter 3 that RJ read so well earlier, we think about this conversation, which is the context of John 3:16, the most famous verse of the Bible. And it's important that we know the biblical context of that great verse. And we have been looking at that verse for the last 4 or 5 weeks. For God so loved the world. Say it with me. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That is the gospel of, and the essence of Christianity in one single verse. If you don't know anything else in the Bible, come to know that verse. But also know the context in which John records that verse in the teachings of Jesus. It's in a conversation, and if you're turned to that passage, which I forgot to tell you to do, in the Bible, some of you are in John chapter 3. Who's Jesus talking to? Nicodemus. And in that first verse, what does it tell us about Nicodemus? First of all, that he was a Pharisee, one of those religious teachers. Actually, there were two parties, not political parties, but religious parties two main ones, the Pharisees and the Sadducees. The Pharisees were mostly those in the local synagogues in charge of the worship, and the Sadducees had control of the temple and so forth. And what's another thing that you see about Nicodemus in that first verse? Yes. Okay. Wow, okay. Well, it doesn't say all that in that first verse, but yeah, that's a good point. If you know the rest of the teachings, Nicodemus shows up at the end of Jesus' earthly life to help Joseph of Arimathea bury Christ in Joseph's tomb. But we see his interest that he is a seeker, that he comes to Jesus. That's important. And also that he is a member of the Jewish ruling council, which was like the Supreme Court of Israel back then, the 71 who came to sit and rule in Jerusalem and so forth, a very prominent place. So he came, and I saw somebody whispering this, he came to Jesus, implying that, or saying that he was seeking to know, he was inquisitive, but he also came to see Jesus when? What time? At night. Why do you think that is? No crowds. A private conversation, perhaps because he didn't want the other dudes in the Sanhedrin to know that he was talking to Jesus. Because Jesus had just done some outrageous thing. He came in and cleansed the tables, the temple. He turned the tables on the money changers. And that got the attention of the religious leaders in Jerusalem. Jesus and his disciples had come down from Galilee and was there in Jerusalem. So Nicodemus had access to him. And he said, Lord, we know that you are a teacher sent from God. Because of the thing, no one can do the things that you do unless God is with them, right? Is that in there? See if I can remember that right. So he knew about Jesus, but he didn't have the full story. Jesus, notice, cuts right through the chit-chat, any small talk, doesn't even respond with the courtesy of, yes, Nicodemus, and you're a teacher of Israel, I've heard of you also. No. He just jumps right in and says, okay, Nick. I like to call him Nick at night because he comes at night. Sorry. Anyhow, unless you were born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. And notice the intensity building as Jesus is having this conversation. First he says you can't see the kingdom of God, then you can't enter the kingdom of God, you must be born again. Well, this is such an important issue to understand what Jesus is teaching. If Jesus is saying this is essential, necessary to get into the kingdom of God, whether it be heaven or into his kingdom family here on earth, you must be born again. Many people are confused by that in our day and age. People think that born-again Christians are a subsect or group, subcategory of Christians. They worship in that kind of church. They dress like that. They don't dance, especially in church. But, sorry. You know what? I believe born-again Christians do dance, and especially in church, but that's, you can fight me on that. But anyhow, the truth is that anyone who is a true believer in Christ must be born again. And it doesn't have anything to do with the way we dress or the rules we follow or the culture in which of Christianity that we follow. It has to do with God coming to us and giving us new life. And notice, just like our first birth, it's all about not what we do, right? A baby, when it's born, is not responsible for his or her birth. It's the mother. It's all about what is happening to him or her. And that's true. Salvation is of God, start to finish. What we are responsible for is to repent of our sins and receive Jesus Christ. And that runs concurrently with God awakening life in our hearts, giving us a new heart, as we've talked about this year. We've talked about new life in Christ, having a heart transplant, having a heart that's alive to God, that spark of new life is all about what rebirth or new birth is all about. In fact, the word that Jesus uses for again, being born again, can also be translated as being born from above. Our first birth is all about being born of the flesh and of this life and of this earth, but being born of heaven, born of both from above and a second time. It's most important that we understand that God gives us new life, and that is the start, that is the beginning of the Christian life. Unless you were born again. My question to you this morning is, are you born again? Again, that's God's work in you to give you a new heart. Regeneration, theologians call it. It's up to you, up to me, to repent of our sins and receive Christ into our hearts, accept Him into our hearts, and God gives us new life. I pray that that has happened to you. That's what communion is all about. As we come with God's life in us, newly awakened, quickened, born, we come to remember what Jesus has done in us and for us. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for the gift of new life, for the hope of eternal life, and for that spark of life in our hearts. Lord, we pray that You would come and give us a heart of the Spirit, a spiritual heart that loves You, that worships You, that praises You, that responds to You. Forgive us for our sin and draw us to Yourself, that we might be filled with this new life, being born again, born from above, born of You. I pray, Lord, for everyone here that that might be true for each one of us. By Your mercy, by Your amazing grace, in Jesus' name, amen.